guys called Sushi Mango?
No. Oh, well, this is
about to say that.
Hey, Anthony, where'd you get this podcasting stuff from?
It fell off the back of a truck.
We're back on another episode of Breaking Bread. I'm here with my podcast partner, Sal the Voice.
How you doing?
And today we're here with Sushi Mango.
Hey!
How you doing?
How you doing over here?
And over here.
Yeah.
Joe and Carlo Salantiri. Is that right?
Oh, close.
What did I say?
Salanitri.
You know, I said it really good before, but
you said it beautiful.
That was before we were running around all day. I think that was before we ate the sandwiches.
It was before.
That's what happened.
Yeah, too much sodium.
And Andrew Manfred.
Manfred.
Manfred, you got that wrong.
Those names coming from some islands off of Sicily, our paisans, but they're Italian-Australian. So coming all the way from the land down under is Sushi Mango.
Yep. Hello.
A lot of exciting news. You guys are coming to do a show here in New York, February 28th, at Town Hall. Did you want it?
Nah. Nah.
This is a smoke zone. This is a smoke zone.
No,
you
but...
Smoke.
What do you got over there, man?
You could smoke, curse. I don't mind, cuz. I'm not shy.
A little thing of cocaine. By the way, I just want to put it out there, if anyone is watching, if you are watching and you want to watch something, how good are these tracksuits?
Hey,
shout out to the garage.
We spent a grand on these.
We spent
1,000 Australian dollars, which is about
dollars.
$5 US.
Yeah.
So
come to the show because we need to sell tickets.
We had ourselves quite a day, boys.
We had ourselves quite a day.
It's been long.
We started, I don't even remember. We started at Mario's Meats and Deli in Middle Village. Where I ate mozzarella while you guys made videos.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was really great. I ate mozzarella. Then we made it to Fortunato Brothers Bakery in Williamsburg. Biagio took great care of us over there. Watching you guys in character all day was such a treat because I've been watching it from afar for so long.
Sure.
I mentioned to you guys that one of my favorite videos you guys have ever done was one of your earliest videos. You guys, they were mentioned like, this was so long ago.
Yeah.
How many years ago was the video of the three ladies? Now, what are their names?
Giuseppina.
Camilla.
And Angela.
Giuseppina, Camilla, and Angela.
Yeah.
So Giuseppina, Camilla, and Angela.
It was something along the lines of,
Your
son no go with my daughter. No.
Yeah.
What is it?
I think I can recite it word for word for you guys.
I find the wallet
of your son in my daughter's room.
My son
and I'll go with your daughter.
Well,
your daughter's a bitch.
That was my line.
You say my daughter's a bitch. The best part of this is you deliver a line shortly after that.
Yeah.
Where you just go right at them. Bitch.
Bitch.
It's incredible.
It's about the video is based on just bickering about sons and daughters and then them getting to just getting at each other, the mums getting at each other's throats. And the part I liked was when Angela didn't understand why she called him a bitch, her a bitch. Right. And I had to explain that. If she call your son a son of a bitch, that's a minute she call you bitch.
She calling me bitch.
She call you bitch.
She call me bitch.
And I can't believe you guys recite that video. Like, I can't believe it. It's an old video. And
I think you guys might be underestimating your popularity over here.
100%.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yes, I definitely, prior to have met you, I definitely have seen a lot of your stuff. It's been everywhere. It's been on my clients' accounts. It's been on my account.
And especially in the last couple of years since COVID and the lockdowns and that kind of boost on social media. And I definitely want to get into all that. But first, I want to talk about how you guys know each other. Well, we know how Joe and Carlo know each other.
So I'm Tracy Carlo, a truck about to drive through the window.
The garbage truck at 9 p.m.
You know what's
welcome to New York.
Not to get off track, but they're staying in Times Square, and they said, we have never stayed anywhere louder in our lives.
All you hear is... I'm fucking walking on the
And that's Wednesday. Yeah.
We were talking about how in New York the cop cars all have the rumbler siren where you feel it in your feet.
I didn't know what that was.
It's true.
I don't know what that was. Yeah. You know, you feel the siren in your knees.
Absolutely.
It's for all the people walking around with headphones in now all the time.
Yeah.
To get their attention, to keep them from walking off a curb.
I just thought the sirens were broken. I didn't know what was going on.
No. Yeah, New York is a crazy loud place.
Man,
it's my first time.
Right.
I've been wanting to come for so many years, and it's my first time.
I've been telling the boys for years, because this is my third time here. I've been telling them, when you guys get to New York, as soon as you set foot in New York, you'll feel something that you don't feel anywhere else. I mean, I've been to Philly, Vegas, LA, and New York. And New York just feels like home. There's a passion. There's something about New York and New Yorkers that's just magic. And as soon as those guys got off at the airport, they felt it.
I was very skeptical. Sorry. I was very skeptical. I thought, yeah, whatever. Until I landed. And within 5 or 6 hours, like, there's something very uniquely New York, which I've never experienced. The passion.
Well, oh, yeah.
The smell of shit, the identity here.
There is a waft of sewage that pops out.
There's 13 different smells every 20 steps.
That's what I think makes New Yorkers so proud and so unique, is that this is a tough fucking place.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The smells, the crazy people, taxes.
Traffic,
the noises.
Yeah, all right, that's true.
Don't worry about
that. Right.
No one touches us.
So the thing is that you guys not take it for granted. This is your home. Okay, you live here. This is where you're from, born and raised. Mm. With us, we've only ever seen it on a movie screen or on the TV at home. So the thing, like you're talking about, we were on the Van Wyck before.
Right.
Right. And then the Van Wyck was something that we heard on Seinfeld.
Right.
Right?
And it's a daily nightmare
and
for
it's
us.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, don't take the Van Wyck to the airport. No, you've got to jump on this other one.
Yes.
And we were on it today. And that, for me, I was going to call it, we're on the Van Wyck, man. You know, like,
I'm so ignorant that I thought that when you'd say, take the 86th Street, I thought that was all bullshit. I didn't realize your streets actually were called
what?
The 34th. I don't know. I just thought it was something they made up in the movies. It's like, everything's a number. 34th.
I didn't think he was being serious either. I don't know directions like that. Sounds like a UPS.
Today, hey, you know, when they say breaking balls, they really mean breaking balls.
Again, I thought it was an expression. It was a movie thing. Who says breaking balls, you know?
Break balls.
Yeah, that's why Anthony called this podcast Breaking Bread, because he couldn't call it Breaking Balls.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, to be blunt.
I mean, and Breaking Balls is also very, you know, I won't even say a uniquely New York thing, but a uniquely Italian-American thing.
Absolutely.
You know, for our you know, grandparents and for our parents, frankly, you know, they didn't have an easy start here. No. So breaking balls and leveling everyone down and humbling each other is kind of how you get along. It's kind of how you know that you're all right.
I was going to say, the interesting part, though, that we realized as we're talking to some people, the Italians have been here longer than what the Italians have been in Australia. So when we were watching you guys, watching America, Italians are part of the fabric. So we're watching people like De Niro, Pacino, the Sinatras, all these people. And you take Italians out of America and pop culture, and it's pretty bleak. But in Australia, there weren't that many Italians on TV that we could look up to. So we would look to America. Do you know what I mean? It was different for us, because we came... The Italians came in the 50s and 60s, but the Italians in America came in the
really early
1920s or like 1900s or earlier.
The mid 1800s.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
The earliest 50s, Italians.
60s, 90s.
The earliest Italians.
New Orleans, the Sicilians were immigrating into New Orleans with citrus, with the oranges and the lemons.
They smuggled in the citrus.
Piss on the lemon.
They smuggled themselves in underneath the orange. Yeah.
But that was the difference. So you, when the Italians came back then, they probably copped a little bit back then.
Mm.
But by the time we were in the 80s, where we were born,
It was sort of still racism was kind of still there, and we were still, you know, on the outer skirts. But by the 80s, you guys were flourishing, man. You had like all these actors and singers.
Yeah,
and
we still have the Olive Garden, and that's pretty racist.
Yeah. We've heard about this Olive Garden. I saw one the other day, and I was like, I'm with
you. Did anyone take you there? Yeah. We here would take you guys there?
No, unlimited breadsticks.
We know not to set foot in there.
I feel like we need to go there. We need to go in there
and spit on the floor and leave.
We need to do a skit.
Yeah, what's funny is a lot of people who hate on like East Coast New York Italians, because we're very over the top. A lot of people who hate on us, you know, and say like we're a caricature of Italian culture, have never been to Olive Garden, apparently. That is a caricature of Italian culture.
I've been to one.
You have to go. It's like going to a museum. You know, you have to go. You have to see what these people are trying to do.
Because I feel the only reason they're in business is because everyone makes a joke of them, so they're just open.
No, it's because there's parts of this country that Italians said, absolutely not. You know, like Italians went to Tennessee and said, yeah, we're good. You know, they left West Virginia. Coal mining in West Virginia, went to Tennessee and said, nah, you can keep this place. Yeah. And then they said, well, what are we going to do about the Italian food? I don't know. Put an Olive Garden.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I definitely
want to
shift the conversation to not even just the start of all this, but where you guys come from. Your families are you know, met in Australia because you're from the same island.
We're from Sicily. Their mother, my parents, are from a group of islands off the coast of Sicily called the Aeolian Islands. Lipari, predominantly my parents, and Stromboli, Joe and Carlos.
Our dad's from a town called Randazzo, which is Provincia Catania in Sicily.
Good Sicilians, I like that.
In Sicily.
Catanese Sicilian.
Catanese.
So,
shout out Tony Napoli.
Tony Napoli?
He's a promoter. He was Catanese.
Really?
Oh, how's that? Tony Napoli from Catania.
Tony Napoli from Catania.
How do you get a name? How does that even work?
Well, it's like Siciliano, Italiano. I know a lot of Sicilianos back home to the Calabrese.
Quick question for you guys. What would you say is like the sub-ethnic group of Italians where you live?
Well, there's a lot of Calabrian, there's a lot of Sicilian, then Abruzzese.
You guys are from Melbourne, right?
And we're from Melbourne. Yeah. But I think in Australia, full stop, there's a lot of Calabria, Sicily, and Sicilians.
I'd say they'd be 50-50.
I reckon they'd be.
Are you saying Italian Australians or
Italian Australians?
Okay. Their origin. And then Abruzzese coming in.
Abruzzese,
Napoletana.
Yeah, definitely Calabrese, Sicilian.
Because like you go to certain parts of this country, you know, over here it's a good mix, but it's mostly Sicilian Napoletan. You know, then you go to like the Midwest, even into Canada, a lot of Calabrese and Sicilian. You know, so it changes depending on where you.
Well, we've got a massive Greek population in Melbourne.
It's the biggest Greek population outside of Greece.
Oh wow!
Yeah, really?
Is in Melbourne.
Yeah. I think it's the second, like outside of
second biggest
Thessaloniki, which is in Greece.
No, Athens.
No. Anyway, I thought it was Thessaloniki has.
Anyway, it's there's a lot of Greeks in Australia. Yeah, right.
Probably too many.
But as far as where you guys are from, they had, you know, kind of like community halls.
Absolutely.
Where people from certain parts.
Still do now.
Of Italy.
Absolutely.
So Sicilians, or maybe even people from a certain part of Sicily.
Absolutely.
Would gather.
Yeah.
Yes. They got the Calabria Club. They got the Veneto Club.
The Calabria Club.
The Isleole Club.
Club Italia.
You guys have known each other since you're kids. Yep.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, that's how we became so close with Andrew, because our parents were part of the same Isleole Club. Mm-hmm. So we go to the picnics, we go to the dances, the dinner dances.
Literally how we know Andrew through that club. Without the club, honestly, without the club,
probably wouldn't.
We would never have met.
Well, I would have met him at school.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have.
But even then,
you wouldn't have had the link.
The little connection.
The connection and the history. Who knows if they would have ended up friends. Without the club, like the club brought us together. These clubs are sort of dwindling now. They're not as prominent as what they were, but they're still around.
And we're making a movie about
that. Yeah.
We're making
a movie. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
About a club, about an Italian club.
That's very exciting.
Or yeah. that's so dying, and we rally together as our characters and the greater community to
social club.
It's about a social. Well, it's not a social club. It's a hall that's under threat because it's losing money, and we're the presidents at the time, and what's happened? Basically, it's loosely based on a true story. The Aeolian Club in Melbourne is on Lygon Street in Carlton, and we went in there to rehearse one of our shows one day. All right, we walked in there, and we walked in the kitchen, and we smelt something in the kitchen.
A little bit pungent.
It wasn't an Italian food smell, so we were like, "What's this smell?" And we went to the guy. He said, "What's the smell in the kitchen?" He goes, "Oh, we had a Moroccan wedding here, and
they brought their
food.
So in order to bring revenue to the club, they've opened it up to the greater community, you know. So
right, because it's a whore.
Yeah, because so back in the day, there was that many Italians that they didn't need to go outside of the community. Because
this isn't just a meeting place. This isn't just a place where there's picnics and public events. Yeah. But if you were getting married or you're having a christening and you wanted a place that you could bring your whole family, you would go to the club.
They used to meet.
Kind of like
They would meet there a couple times a week, and they would order food, and they would do this. But that, because a lot of people have died off, the club can't survive because it's like, okay, we need to look elsewhere for revenue. Where do we look elsewhere? To the new immigrants that have come in.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
So we were like, oh, that's a good idea for a movie, like saving the club. The club's on its knees. It doesn't have the money it has. And we go, something, we can't say what's happening in the script, but something happens to the club. It needs money. We go to war. We go and save this club and do whatever we can to save it. So.
And because Australia is such a multicultural country, in the movie, there's all these different other nationalities who are part of the club, who we all rally together to save the club. Mm-hmm. So we're into the second or third run of the script at the moment. We got and hopefully be out late 2025.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. In Australia.
In Australia. We're going to try and bring it out.
We're going to be able to stream it over here.
Yeah, you know? Well,
that's a difference. I mean, we're in Australia. Mm. We've got Australia covered. Yeah. Like Australia, we're at a level where and I don't say this in a cocky way. But
say it.
Well, we walk down the street. It's difficult.
We're kind of a big deal.
We're a very big deal.
Yeah,
hey, I like that.
They're stars.
In Australia, we have a level of status that's nice. Yeah, it's coming to New York and here, it's almost like we're grassroots again.
Starting over.
It really does feel that way. It feels like the old days for us back in Australia, going, we need to really build here.
So it's very flattering when you guys say to us so that we're well known.
They've gone from Australian Good Morning America to this.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wow. Well, listen, man. You've got.
But legitimately.
I don't mean.
You know,
when you're looking at clips on your Instagram, you're looking at clips from big national morning news programs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys have stardom on a national level now.
But what would you expect? I mean, Australia's 26 million people. You've got double that just here, in New York City. So we got to start. You got to start somewhere.
It doesn't matter. You've risen to a level where your entire country knows you.
Yeah,
that's a big deal itself.
It is lovely.
Now, granted, it's not everything, and obviously, you guys are destined for international stardom. I mean, they have a whole tour coming up this winter in America. You guys are going to how many different cities in North America between Canada and the U.S.?
Seven, I think it is.
Seven North American cities. SushiMango.com.
Yeah, SushiMango.com. If you've seen any of our videos, pretty much we do sketches for an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes on stage, whatever it is.
So obviously, you guys are peaking to international levels.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Like we've actually done, we're putting on a third show soon in Toronto. London sold two shows. New Zealand's doing very well as well. And then we've got New York, Washington, Chicago, Boston, and LA.
Wow.
And they're all selling pretty well.
The dream, is, as always, we said to each other, you know, we wanted to do arenas in Australia, and we achieved that. And then after that, you know, we went straight to Madison. Our head went straight to Madison Square Garden. We're like, oh, that is the ultimate. Like, if to reach Madison Square Garden in New York City is the pinnacle of everything. Because if you can, like I said, if you can make it here,
you can make it anywhere.
You can make it anywhere, right?
If they anywhere.
If they accept you here in New York, then any market will accept you. Like, you know.
So in order to get to the precipice, to the start of Sushi Mango, we got to talk about, you know, you guys grew up together, right?
Sure.
But there was a time between high school and Sushi Mango and your troupe. Andrew, we were talking before. You were in your family's scrap metal business.
Yes, I was laundering money through a scrap metal
business. That's right.
Sounds about right.
You know what? You want to know something? This is how little Italians change all around the world. You know, I have neighbors who, you know, obviously they got a vowel at the end of the name, and they're real how you doings, and they're in the scrap metal business.
There you go.
You know, carding and scrap metal. You know, like it's.
I did both. I did both of those.
You did both
back in Australia. Yes, absolutely. I did family business for. I worked 25 odd years.
Did you guys have a slang for that? So when I worked in the electricians union, we used to call it Mongo. Don't ask me why, but it was like a code name for all the scrap metal you would take from work, and you would go and sell it on the black market.
Mongo. What?
Mongo.
It was like stealing, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes and no.
You're talking to the guy who was trying to run the business and stop people from stealing.
Fair enough. Mongo.
He's going to tell you how you lost all the profit.
Yeah. Right. No, we used to buy off a lot of Mongo people.
Fair enough. Yeah. So
yeah, we know.
I was the guy selling people.
I know. Like that doesn't. Yeah, I just demolished my house, and then there's a whole truck full of copper. It's like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Look what I found. Yeah, I was taking apart a bathroom. I found all this. That's I found funny. About 2 tons of copper.
I found it under the house. You know,
it was in my bathtub at the bottom. I don't know. It was just there.
And Joe, for 10, 12 years, Joe, you were a singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Professional singer.
Yeah.
What?
For a long time, yeah.
You didn't know
Joe
that.
Was a
you
professional singer.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes, I sang for, 10, 12 years, especially weddings and corporate functions. I emceed.
God. Yeah, the amount of people that we bump into, the amount of people that know him just for emceeing their wedding is outrageous.
Turns out before he was Joe Salonici, he was Joey Fatone.
Yeah.
Joey Fatone.
So, yeah, man. So, I did that for a very long time. And love, that's a massive power. What you do for your job was something that I aspired to do all my life. But now I wear a woman's 90 on stage.
And you sell more tickets, yeah, doing it. Yeah.
So lucky.
Wait, what's a 90? Like a nightgown?
Nightgown. Yeah. Nightgown.
No, I might start dressing up in a muumuu and put the wig on pretty soon.
Now, I got to say that Joe's ability to sing has really opened up the door for us in the shows. We do parodies and whatnot, and Joe leads the way with all that. So it wasn't a waste.
In this show that we're bringing to North America and everywhere, we do a parody of Jersey Boys, mm-hmm. but they're called the Greasy Boys.
Yeah.
And,
I love that.
And we do like a song that called Salami.
Well, let's pull the brakes.
The falsetto.
You can't give him everything.
The falsetto is salami. You know.
But that's not in this show. That's in another show. It's in our old show.
No, it's in this show.
Oh, you're right. I've had too many bourbons.
Wait, so does that rhyme to sherry?
Yeah, yes, it's sherry.
I'm assuming, yeah.
What, did you hear it?
Yeah.
He's perfectly on.
It's one extra syllable.
I'm not a musically inclined person, but I
heard. No, when I say professional singer, so Joe is trying like in the car, but well, it's nothing like what you do. I said, wait a second, but what did you do? Like, what kind of events? He's like, oh, corporate gigs, weddings. And I'm like, but people paid you to go and sing. He's like, yeah. But so you're a professional.
You do shows. You do a big with the big band.
You do something I could have never done. You would sing weddings, you would start with standards and then sing a whole 4-hour wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
And get to the top 40 at the end. I couldn't do it. I'm 90 minutes and I'm out. Yeah. He's like wondering how I'm doing 3 nights in a row. Like, all I got to do is 90 minutes and about 20 minutes of shtick and I'm out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I love that. That was the dream for me. But then,
so that was your start,
the
kind
boys,
of in yeah. entertainment.
Well, here's the thing. Carlo and Andrew, I mean, I always give these guys the massive amount of props.
Right.
Because with our very first show, now Carlo's always been the class clown, the laugh factory right here. Yeah, right?
Attention was important to me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've never shied away from standing up and talking or look at me. I want to make you laugh. I need to have that. So it's
and
that's
forget,
what
when,
driven
remember
me.
When we worked together for a while, we worked at a business together. And we had some, it was like a team group,
yeah,
group thing. And then we were just going bang, bang, bang.
It was like a battle, like between who could get the laugh.
Yeah.
It became so funny. What we were presenting was secondary. It was
you
like,
guys were in sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked for this company and then he came to work with us and we had this presentation. It was literally just joke, yeah, joke, joke, sick. Outdo each other, joke, joke, up, back. It was back and forth.
Really?
To me, getting a laugh in school was the most important thing. In a classroom of 30 people and I would have to, hey, miss that. I'd get kicked out for that laugh. I'd get kicked out 100 times every time.
So between school and comedy, what are you doing? Where are you going from? Like, are you a natural salesman because of this ability to entertain?
Or was
there many things that you tried?
No, I was just more driven by sounds a bit stupid. I just always wanted to be my own boss. I didn't want to be
that's
touched.
Not stupid.
Amen to
that's,
that. No,
that's
amen
why you
to
created
that.
A little world for yourself, yeah. And now you are one of the top entertainers in Australia.
Yeah, I didn't know what
that's
it was.
Not stupid. It was, that's everything.
Listen, I didn't know, yeah. That's a true Sicilian thing to like yeah. say. Trust
that
me.
That too. Yeah,
it's a true Sicilian thing.
I just didn't really. I just knew that I was gonna whatever it was. I was gonna make. It was just hustle. Do my get where I had to go. To be my own boss and then just keep building and building and building and building. And that's it. I ended up, I was in sales. I went and lived overseas for 5 years in London.
Wow.
Did my thing there. Came back into sales, worked with a friend. And Joe came and worked with us. And then I bought into a lighting business with a friend of mine. And then that kicked off. And during that time where I was... building that business, he was in between because Joe was in between work at the time and came and worked with us, and he was doing these videos. So Joe, he was the one who sort of lit the flame of the he lit the flame with Sushi Mango, and he's the one who released the there was always something I felt there was always something in us that, you know, there was, I don't know if it was driven by my father. My father was an entertainer. He was the life of the party. It was always something more that we had to give people. But he was the one. He came. He started doing these videos. He showed me this video he did. And then I'd start, and I was busy with my business. And I'd say, hey, maybe you should cut there and maybe extend that, you know, because we had this innate ability to edit and time comedy. Comedy was
just whatever
the
comedy.
Front.
Yeah.
Always the front of our life. And Andrew, same thing. Andrew was a scrap metal merchant, but I always remember Andrew as being... Andrew's a bit more of the reserved guy.
No, I'm the guy who's normally hiding in the cupboard.
No, but that's...
normally,
but that's public. Cupboard, that's like publicly.
That. When we go back to the hotel, he'll just go in his cupboard.
Publicly.
Cupboard.
You know,
this guy.
He's a little bit more... And when you get to know him, he just has this level of comedy that's just... outrageous. It's like, and I always remembered him when I was young, because I'm 3 years younger. I always remember him as being just the funniest. I would always look at him and just laugh at these guys together when I was younger. I was 3 years younger. I would just laugh and laugh, and he'd always make me laugh, and you know?
Andrew's got a great rhythm about him.
Yeah.
When you're in a skit, I don't know if you noticed this, your rhythm is almost musical. It's almost like...
Oh, that's a lovely compliment.
The way Sammy is... very on the rhythm with the ba ba da ba da. It's very musical, the way you're right on rhythm. And it lends to that perfect timing. I don't know if you realize that you do this.
I don't. What it's I'm doing incredibly is I'm working with these two, and these two are incredible talented, like two incredibly well, talented, and they got their own rhythm.
You guys are like,
and I don't have that rhythm, so I got to find a way to go in there.
Funny you say that though, Stel, because comedy is all about rhythm.
So I liken what you guys do, you know, when you guys are as a troupe, and especially how locked in you guys are with each other, like a really great jazz trio. You know, you're listening to each other, you're bouncing off each other, and what comes out in the end is a masterpiece every time.
I think that's why our shows have been so successful. Mm-hmm. Because we all allow each other to have our own solo, you know, to have our own time.
Yeah.
But when I say that, it's like it's all, if we all have a joke, we all have a ba 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 ba. And it's just constant, and we don't overstep each other. Everything is 100% scripted on stage, and you can't step away from that, because it will ruin what's coming up next.
Well, so you might, I don't know whether you've performed vocally with other artists. You can't sit there and try outshine the other guy. You got to work with whatever's there.
Someone's going to make the other one look better. You got to
absolutely
compliment each
other. So that's what we try and do. We try and share the stage and share the comedy. And it's like, it's not about competing who's going to be funnier, who's going to be white, who's going to be the funniest.
But he's saying that, we don't do any funnier.
I'm the hilarious one.
Yeah. I'm the underachiever. I'm the quiet achiever. I outshine everyone, but it doesn't look that way. Like,
honestly, it's about...
He's like the tortoise. He comes through at the end.
It is about... It's like, we're actually pretty hard on ourselves, actually.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if we do something that's off the cuff, like, you know, if we go into an interview on, you know, a morning show, or if we're doing whatever, and, you know, it's unscripted... We always, when we come, I am especially, we always come off and be like, and we weren't in sync that one. We talked over each other. Like you bounced on me, I bounced on you. We should have gone one for one. Listen to each other. And I think over, it's been, you know, 7 years or 8 years. I think over 8 years it starts to, you know. It's all about, because there's three, it's hard. When it's two, it's easier. But there's three, and you got to give everyone a spot. And if something comes to your head comedically and you want to jump in, you got to jump in with what, otherwise you'll forget it, right? So if three of you have got to jump in at the same time.
And that was a hard thing for me at the start. So because I was the front man for 12 years.
Right.
Right. You're the one that has to talk all the time.
But it was hard for all.
No, but when I say it's hard for me, I would just talk. I thought, I'm going to talk. Or not because I wanted to talk, because just you had to.
Naturally, you're the one who's going to start.
I didn't really. And still today, I've got to pull myself back.
That's the beauty from video to video. And this is what I'm most excited about in your live show, is every time I start watching a Sushi Mango video, I don't know who's going to deliver the punchline.
That's true.
And that's what's great and exciting about it, is you get to the end and you're like, it was Angela, or it was Vince. You know, like it's really exciting. Mm. And I think, you know, in your live shows, to see that happening bit after bit after bit after bit, one after the other.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most excited for.
Yeah, it's great. Like, we made sure that we try and put a laugh every 30, 40 seconds in the show.
But how do you go from two brothers to three friends as an act at together? Well, does that start on social media? Does that start on stage?
It started on social media, absolutely, yeah. And then progressively we got approached by someone in Australia that had been doing comedy, ethnic comedy, for quite some time.
And had a
years.
Following.
Had a following.
Right.
He noticed.
He's been around for 20 years, though.
For a very long time. Done movies.
30. TV shows. He done these type of shows on stage for a long time.
He did a big movie. Well, he was in a TV series called Acropolis Now, which is one of the biggest TV series in Australia.
Do you know how Carlo before was saying that we were watching you guys? Nick Giannopoulos was the first one.
We grew
Australia
up watching him. Yeah.
To put us on the big screen in Australia.
Nick, we'd watched him on TV and on the live screen and perform on stage. He saw one of our videos and was...
So this is how he discovers you.
Quite impressed by the video, and contacted the boys, the page and said, well, "Hey, Willis, do you want
to?" Actually, relates back to these tracksuits we're wearing today, right?
Yeah.
Now, the video that he saw, it was called "Dancing Around the World," and we were portraying, I think, 6 or 7 different nationalities.
13, wasn't it?
Or whatever, however many it was. So we went to the costume store and we spent like $3,000. And this was prior to money coming in.
We were making no money at the time, like zero. Yeah, it was zero income.
There was no money from Sushi Mango coming in. But we'd do anything for a laugh. Anything.
It was an investment.
It was an investment. We just
like these tracksuits. An investment.
That's why
the grand idea.
That's why going to the
keep safe for me.
Going New York price, going to buy these. It's like
absolutely.
It's what we do. We don't care. It doesn't matter. We buy the tracksuit for the content because the content is an investment. The content is part of what we do. We go to that extra level. So he saw us in portraying these nationalities, and he was like, "Geez, these guys put a lot of effort into what they do. I want to do a stage show with these guys." So we ended up doing a cut a long story short.
He said the work ethic, I saw your work ethic and I saw you guys work hard, and you don't cut corners. And it's true. Like, we just make sure, like, it's all those one percenters which people will see. And if, someone notices that 1%, that cup's not supposed to be here, it's supposed to be here, that makes a difference, And we go mental about it. Carlo's very... very fastidious about it, and I get fastidious about it. We've all got what we call malatia,
malatia.
Malatias.
We've all got our own malatias.
We've all got our own sicknesses in our heads.
We rent a house in Australia that's an old school Italian style. We rent that.
Content house?
This is like one of your parents' houses.
No, it originally started in the very first shit ethnic dads say, that very first video that kicked it off, they got 10 plus million views.
Right.
That one started in my parents' house. We had an hour to shoot. Mum was quite ill at the time, so we said, go to the pokies for a bit. We're going to shoot a vid. We slapped together the costumes in a couple of hours and shot it. And that sadly, that house is gone now. I pulled it down and built some units. Do you call them units here or apartments? What do you
apartments.
Call them?
Apartments.
Yeah.
Built some apartments on that block. That house is
like
sadly
a true
gone.
Goomba.
Very, very.
like a true Italian dude.
Rip it down, build
apartments. But then we hopped from house to house.
Yeah, hopped house. And like then we used my mum's house, but mum did a little reno, so it started to look
not authentic,
New Italian. Still Italian, but new Italian.
So this is a content house.
But this is a house that we...
To find this house, it took us ages because we were like, everything has to be perfect. I'm talking, we would go into a house and
What is the realtor saying? Like, you're like, I want a house, but I want it to be very old and outdated.
Yeah, they didn't
what?
Know.
It's like absolutely. The antithesis of what people
what
do.
We scoured houses for months because the rest of the house would be fine, but there'd be a new oven.
Too modern.
Or the tiles had been changed.
You know how many houses we walked into, right, and we're like, everything's perfect. But the oven's brand new. We can't take it. See you later.
Really?
Yeah, and then we're like, don't
but
you
the
like?
Oven's brand
and they're like,
new.
Yeah, or we'd go in there and they're like, listen, they will renovate the bathroom for you. Like, we don't want it renovated. Yeah. What are you talking about? We want to change back. Or we go into the bathroom and be updated. We go, can they put the old tiles back in here? And they'll be like, what are you guys trying to do? We're like, you don't understand. See you later. We shopped around for like 8 months looking for this house. Then this house came along. And we're like, they're like, listen.
This is right after your first two seasons of shows on the road.
Oh, no,
you guys immediately reinvested?
Yeah.
No, we got the house.
We did our own show. We did two seasons with Nick. And we did like 44 shows, each season. And it was one called Star Wogs and Wogs at Back at Wogs at Work. And then we did our own show. And then after our own show, we're like, well, we were always looking for a house. And we finally found
it. So while like Jake and Logan Paul are buying their content house in Beverly Hills, you guys are finding a content house in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
One thing I want to touch on that you said that was really interesting to me was that, and I could be wrong, but in America, I don't believe Italian is ethnic, and you were referring to Italian as an ethnic show in Australia,
yeah,
which I think is really interesting. Like, could you guys elaborate on that a little bit?
Wow.
Yeah, well, we are back home. We're considered immigrants were ethnic.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, you know, we're ethnic people. We're Greek, Italian, whatever, European, Indian. We're ethnics.
Yes, I bring it back to what you said earlier. I mean, the Italian immigrants were coming to America as early as the 1850s.
Yeah.
1850s. Yeah. Well, in Australia, it was the 1950s. So, 100 years separation between the flow of immigration to America and then to Australia. So
this is not just for Italians. This is like in it with Serbian, Croatian, Lebanese people, all ethnic groups in Australia had this kind of stuff. It's not just Italians. That's why, you know, when we do our content, we're Italian, we use the Italian accent, but we don't say Italian words so we can reach to all these ethnic groups.
It's and they all the comedy.
Yeah.
So it's immigrant culture.
They identify. Yeah, all
immigrant culture.
And that was that's why the show's called Off the Boat.
You guys know an American comedian by the name of Anthony Rodia?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
So Anthony, when I go to his shows, it's not just Italian-Americans in the audience.
No. Nah.
It's people of all different backgrounds who have off-the-boat parents.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's all very relatable. The immigrant experience is not just unique to Italian Australians, Italian Americans. Like you said, there's a tremendous variety of ethnic groups in Australia, and everything is so relatable for everybody.
Yes.
And that's got to be such an incredible experience at Johnny Vincent Sam's.
Yeah.
But and it's the same experience that you guys recreate live on stage.
Yeah. 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 It's true. It's just, I think, nostalgia. We stumbled across nostalgia.
Right.
Like when we started doing these things with these characters and these people, we stumbled across nostalgia.
I think it really. I think we were talking about this earlier in the car ride. We spent a lot of time in the car today from South Brooklyn.
Oh my
Bensonhurst,
God. They went to what? Four of the five.
We went
boroughs?
From Bensonhurst to Morris Park in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Did we?
You didn't go to Staten Island today.
You went to four of the five boroughs today?
You didn't go to Staten Island, that's it.
Brooklyn and the Bronx. You were in four of the five
boroughs. We had no idea. We had no idea, man.
We're just
sitting there going, where the fuck we're going?
You didn't miss anything, though.
You didn't miss anything. So, you know, we were talking about how the pandemic kind of, although it was, it at first was kind of like a stick in the spokes of your momentum that you were building, you know, you guys had just started arenas. It was
not yet.
We were.
So we did.
But you had just sold arena shows.
We'd done the theater shows.
Actually,
right. No, but okay. He's right though. No,
you had put them on sale.
No, we hadn't.
No,
because 2019 was our shows for the thingo, and we hadn't put the arena shows on sale yet. We hadn't.
No, we hadn't. But we had the meeting with our
you
new
were in
promoter.
The process of booking arena shows.
Yes, we had the meetings. I remember where we were at.
You've arrived now at the conversation of we are too big for theaters. We need to do arenas.
The conversation was let's get together and do an arena show. And we're like, okay, let's do it. And then boom,
COVID
pandemic.
Yes, that's how it happened.
And then we put everything on ice. And then we're going to do it now. Then we finally released it on the 20th of November, 2020. That's when we released it on sale.
But
then again, we had another year.
we were put in lockdown longer than you guys can imagine.
Right.
We're in America.
365 days. 366 days to be exact.
So you had a completely different experience as to what we
How long were you guys locked down?
I don't even remember.
How long
we broke
before
all the
people
rules.
Said,
you want me to be honest
screw
with
this,
you.
We're going to Florida? Yeah. Like 2 months.
Well, we broke a lot of rules.
Melbourne was the most locked down city in the world. We broke the record.
We had a curfew. Really? We had a 9 p.m. curfew.
We had a 9 p.m.
It was
curfew.
Something, it was 9 p.m. something that a lot of the talking heads on the news and the media
were
like, look at Australia.
I think I remember them saying
they have much fewer COVID deaths because they've been locked down for so long.
No. It wasn't so much. Look. The rest of Australia wasn't quite as stringent. Melbourne, where we're from,
right?
366 days in lockdown, 9 p.m. curfew, 5 kilometer radius travel, so we couldn't travel beyond 5 kilometers of where you were living.
How do they keep track of that?
Well, they're kind of people. They're just relying on the fact
that
people do the right thing.
No, like people were seriously packing.
People
their
were panicking,
and cars.
And staying home. Wanted a Coca Cola, you wanted to go down to the local grocery store and get a Coke.
If you wanted a Mars bar,
9:10, forget it.
Past 10 past.
You couldn't go.
You wanted a pack of chips that you didn't have in your house or something like that. That's it.
And what they would put out into the public was, if you tell on your neighbor, you are doing the right thing.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, like if
they're endorsing being a rat.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Stop glorifying rats.
Stop glorifying rats, bro.
That's
here
what they
in
would
New
do.
York, you kept the beating so fast.
If you tell on your neighbor, you are doing right by the society, they're doing wrong. You telling us is the right thing.
I saw Anthony walking back from 7-Eleven with ring dings.
I don't even want to say what I did during.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it was like here, but in back at home, if you didn't get vaccinated, a lot of people lost their jobs as a result.
That was very similar.
Well,
in New York,
especially like if I had to come to a decision. I'm like, well, listen, if I want to go back to work, if I want to be allowed in a theater right now, if I want to be allowed to put on a show at like 30% capacity, I have to get a jab. And I think things were
same thing happened to us. Yeah, so we took
begrudgingly took it. I'll be honest, I didn't want to take it. It wasn't something because I didn't know, it wasn't tested. I was just like,
I think it was the requirement of it all.
It was a requirement. We did it. We did it.
That was strange.
But put it this way, we had sold a bunch of tickets in Perth. So we were touring. Perth was isolated themselves. They wouldn't let anyone into the city.
Right.
And they said, if you want to come into the city, you have to get your third jab. So
really?
We had sold 10,000 tickets in Perth. In order to go and get the money that we'd made in Perth, the requirement was, hey, you're forced to take that third jab to get the money that you have worked all your life for.
Wow. So this is, but at this point, Anthony, they've already postponed these shows.
Yeah.
Several times.
They've now, the social media has now become an absolute monster, an absolute gorilla at this point.
Yeah, because
everyone's been locked down.
COVID was good, yeah.
COVID kind of, now it's like,
it's bigger
than you could have even imagined, and you're right at the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Sal, you understand, with Perth, man. Perth,
wow.
Yeah.
Perth,
yeah.
Or, 7 days before Perth, we thought we're cancelling the shows in Perth and we're postponing it for 6 months. But the promoters all rallied together, and because nothing had happened in Perth, they moved all the shows to an arena. But when I say they moved to arena, we were only allowed 2,500 per show in a 15,000-seat arena.
So that's the only thing that saved us.
The only way.
So it was a loophole. It was a loophole. It was a 15,000-seat theatre, and we did... So... Rather than do one show in that arena, we did five shows
at 2,500.
At 2,500,
because
they said
you're allowed to have 50%.
Does that make sense?
So we'll take the 50% because
no, less 30.
That's 25%.
30%.
So we thought we could squeeze up against
the
corner.
Kind of the same numbers for a while. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
And they were so desperate because. They hadn't had any work. The arena hadn't had any work. They were doing deals that they're like, yeah, come in,
sure.
Just do it.
When we got out of the airport.
We'll subsidize it. And we're like, cool, we'll just do these five shows and that's it. We had to work more, but it doesn't matter.
Look, the place that copped it the worst was a place called Newcastle. So they'd paid money to see our 2019 show, not our Off the Boat, the new one, which went out in 22. Was it 22? Was it 22? Mm. They'd paid to see a 2019 show. And because it was the last show of that leg, the lockdowns came in right at the end when we were going to go there. So they waited from 2019 all the way through to the beginning of 22 to see.
They didn't even see
the show they paid the money to see. They didn't see that show. We presented them the absolute brand new show.
You got the same stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You copped it sweet as well.
I was.
You had to move to Florida, I heard.
I was playing comedy clubs because the rules for comedy clubs were different for theaters.
Yes.
At one, like, it's so strange. Like, you can't get sick if you're going to laugh, but if you're going to see music, absolutely not. You're gonna get sick.
So what was the rule? Was it up to like a certain amount of people?
Comedy clubs, because they served food, like they served like fried foods and bar like and drinks. they could technically have a bigger capacity because it's more like a restaurant. And restaurants could have bigger capacities.
That was such a scam.
Yeah.
That was such a scam.
And when we did our first...
How about this? I performed... I did a Christmas show. A shout out to the Murrays, my Irish friends, at Mulcahy's bar in Wantagh. I performed at a bar that has mostly country and rock acts, an Irish bar, because they were allowed to have a bigger capacity because of their square footage and the fact that they're actually like they're also kind of like a restaurant. But even so, we had the state liquor authority visiting us and trying to shut it down because there was music going on. It's like, well, people aren't technically here for dinner. They're technically here for the show. So that makes it dangerous. It was such like a rat maze. Yeah. You know, to figure out how to get this cheese. You know, it really was a mind bender. Which has to be an incredible kick for you guys because here is all this hard work and all this hustling and kind of learning on the fly. You're right at the end of the ski jump.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now we have to figure this all out. Yeah, now we have to, postponed, you know.
6 months. And then we almost doing a show. We prepared for 4 weeks. And yeah. We were about to go to Adelaide to do the first one, and then they pulled the rug, and we weren't allowed to go. So we postponed it, and we finally started at the start of 22, January 22. And
so only last year were you guys able to start back up?
January 4th, 2022 was our first show in Geelong. And we had to perform to people. They were allowed to fill the arenas.
Yeah.
They had to wear masks because they were sitting forward in a numbered seat. They're allowed to wear a mask and we're allowed to film. But we were getting, 50,000 cases a day?
At the time, yeah.
At the time. So people were still coming, but they were getting scared. So we're getting refunds.
Yeah, it was
people
crazy.
That had COVID. And then people were buying tickets. People were getting refunded.
I think that's what a lot of my friends and even my family didn't understand about when COVID was over. For people who work in normal businesses, it still wasn't over for the entertainment industry.
Because you had people that were scared.
Right.
But then you had people that weren't scared. Like, during the shows, I just remember, I still remember those, like going, 100 people refunded, 120 people bought tickets, 80 people refunded, 50 people bought tickets. It was literally going like that.
Wow.
It was going like that.
Can you imagine?
I loved watching the masks come down
over the course
of a show. And the masks.
They couldn't police it. Could you imagine?
Halfway through a 90-minute show, people are like, fuck this.
But you would hear.
Our show's 2 hours, by the way. But could you imagine performing a comedy show to laughter that was muffled
No.
It was crazy.
It was that serious.
It was funny, man. It was muffled laughter. We had 15,000 at one of the first shows, all covered in masks.
Yeah.
Second, the other big show, we had two arenas that we did. Again, all covered in masks. When we came back and did the encore tour, but just to tell you, when we were doing meet and greets, yeah? We had to get people lining up. We were sitting on the stage with the people lining up. They would squirt their hands with hand sanitizer, stand on a other side of a rope a meter away from us. So we weren't even touching them.
So we couldn't shake their hands. So the reason why were they putting hand sanitizer?
Like, this is the rule.
We couldn't shake their hands. We weren't allowed to.
Hand sanitize even though you weren't.
We weren't allowed to.
Wow.
You don't understand. You had to have a COVID officer there for the tour. Otherwise, you couldn't.
So when we did the encore... We had a break for 6 weeks, and then we did another run with the same show all around the country again, and just to see all the people's faces again.
So six weeks later, the rules are completely different.
It was after the full tour, so we went from January to May, just full tour, and then as the months went on,
Six months later,
we did a whole run again.
Wow.
And it was...
We got through it in the end. And, you know, I think the people that came, I think the energy people were appreciative that we were doing the shows. I think at one stage we were the only people touring. Well, I think we were the first.
We were the only people touring.
People enjoyed it. All the people were sick of the rules and they loved it and they were laughing and it was amazing.
Well, it's the mark of longevity is making it through this pandemic and you guys did. Now you're on an international tour, and Anthony, you were saying these guys. Restaurant owners, you're like restaurant. Going through all the things
we're
in your head.
Wine as well.
Like you went to every aspect of like I don't even know what it's called. Like I guess you could say entertainment because like in like a way like owning a restaurant is kind of like being an entertainer. I mean,
I think it's like an aspect of it. Well, I think Italians especially, we bond with people, we relate to people through food, through cuisine. We come together at the table.
Yeah.
And it's kind of your way, if you don't mind me saying, it's your way of bringing your fans together with you. Because there's a piece of you guys in that restaurant. That's what I could see.
We're not there, but
side of the world.
We're not there, but as soon as you step foot in that place, we don't want to be like people ask us, are you guys ever at the restaurant? We're like, yeah, we pop in from time to time. It's not like we don't want you to come to the restaurant to see us. We want you to go to the restaurant to experience the restaurant. So when they go in there, they feel a sense of us being there and our brand being there through what we've created at the restaurant, if that makes sense. It stands on its own 2 feet and it's about, you know, it screams Sushi Mango and whatever, it screams what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
By stepping foot in there, you understand it, you feel it, you know.
It's a celebration of the Italian culture and more so just the immigrant culture. You got to come, guys. Come to Australia.
We looked at each other before, like we're going to Australia.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
I've been dying to go. I just don't know. I'll probably have.
Yeah, we can organize.
Thanks.
I think the kangaroos are pretty far from where these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
One thing.
Your wife thinks that we have kangaroos in the backyard still.
Oh yeah, yeah. This
are they, pets, cuz?
My wife. See, for those of you who don't know,
shout out G.
Shout out G.
Who's here?
My wife is a real New Yorker, right? So she's like, so you guys have like kangaroos in your backyards, like we have raccoons, right?
Hey, what we do have are the spiders, so I'll give you that.
Fuck that.
Yeah, but not, look, listen.
Fuck that. We have spiders
but
big
they're not
as
all,
big as your
they
hand.
Come out on the wall every now and
I
then.
I picture them like that big, bro.
They're not all that big.
Don't you have scorpions too?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Huntsman.
She's talking about the huntsman spider.
They're harmless though.
They don't bite.
They just look. They look vicious.
That's why. Yeah, they're not harmless because they look vicious.
They look vicious.
Wait, but
they're not harmless. They're not harmless if they can give you a heart attack.
Yeah. That's what they do. They give you a heart attack.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
yes.
Jake.
Yes.
Why are you guys called Sushi Mango?
Oh. Well, this I was is about to say that.
Well, you want
to
repeat?
That's normally the first question we get asked.
Comedy restaurant. Branding, superstardom, none of it explains Sushi Mango.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So, well, in the beginning.
In the beginning. Have you seen that?
In the beginning. We're getting a bit rowdy now. All right. So, in the beginning.
Cut some slack.
In the beginning, we weren't doing this Italian style, you know, the ethnic or style humor. We were just doing everyday stuff. And when we were coming up with a name, we'd started to do this content. I was at my brother's house and we were thinking, we were looking at each other, what should we call this thing? And his 3-year-old son at the time was on the toilet screaming, Sushi Mango. And we're like, I was like, what's your son saying? Can you please get
him
to...
Regina, my wife's name is Regina. Can you go get Luca, please? All right? My son's name Luca. And so he's still going Sushi Mango. I'm like, but John, I work here. Just relax.
Yeah.
He's going Sushi Mango.
That sounds like a quirky, unexplainable, imbecilic name. And we're like, that sounds like
it has nothing to do.
That's the depth.
Well, that way you can go any direction with it at that point.
No, but, we didn't have a direction at the time. It was just that was it. It was just sounding like a quirky, funny name.
It sounded funny. I mean, sounded stupid. It sounded silly. And we're like, you know, we'll take that. That's it. We're called Sushi Manga.
We were having discussions up until today. Like, how do we pronounce it? Like, is it?
Yeah, I was so worried. I was like, is it pronounced like a different way? It's like double O. Am I going to say it wrong?
Because we didn't want to make it look sushi.
That would have been sushi. It would have been sushi. Sushi.
Sushi?
Sushi mango.
Wow.
Sushi manja.
Sushi manja.
Manja.
Wow. Some people say sushi.
And that's how it happened. It was like, it's an interesting name. Okay, let's use that. And that was it. And it stuck. You know.
I'll tell you what, it's one of the most, it's the number one question. We get all the time. Everyone's like, why the name Sushi Manga? But at the end of it, they go to us, you know what? There's something about that name. It's like, you remember it. It's like, it's so obscure.
You remember until someone goes, what's a sushi mushy thing?
Yeah,
you're doing?
Yeah. What's a mushy manga?
Well, I would imagine it's probably harder for your core fans to remember, like a lot of the off the boat Italians.
You know what? Honestly, it's not, because it's like you said,
believe it or not,
something that perplexes people, and they're like, they're dressing up like my nonna and granddad, and they're portraying that. But why they call it something that people
sound Japanese?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, why do they sound Japanese? But they have Italian comedy.
Yeah. So it's, and then a lot of the times when people would say, "Oh, have you seen Sushi Manga?" and people go, "What are you talking about?" and they go, "The three guys, the old guys that get dressed up. Oh yeah, I know who they are." So it took a little bit of time to connect that back home as well.
But it's so absurd that it's unforgettable.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's so absurd that it's unforgettable.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
In fact, it makes so much that no sense that it makes some sense.
Truthfully speaking, I always knew who you guys were. I've seen your content. I am a fan, but I never made the connection. It just didn't click.
And I think that happened on, you know, obviously early on in Australia. So I think that's where we're sort of here at the moment.
Yeah.
People know the videos. People have seen the videos.
100%.
People know the characters.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why we've done this tour, is because it's like people know and see it all, but they might not connect it with Sushi Manga, and they're like, oh, fuck, these guys are coming here. We've got to go see them.
100%. Yeah, this is going to be tremendous. Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is an international tour, New Zealand, the UK, Canada, the United States. I can't wait to see you guys February 28th at Town Hall in New York City.
Yep.
But what comes after this tour? What's the future of Sushi Manga? Because you're speaking about unforgettable. You guys are really here to stay. This is just the precipice of this.
Well, so we want to come back here every year. Like, we're going to come back and do a show here every year.
We want to crack the market here. We want to come here every year and see you guys every year.
That's what I was about to say. Even if we don't do a show, we want to come and see the gang.
Listen, at the very least, you've made a lot of friends today.
100%.
I don't want to say the way you guys have ingrained yourself into the fabric of the American culture, the Italian American culture. We want to become part. We'd love
honestly,
to become part of the
it.
Italo American really, culture. We'd love to be a part.
America's
of, you know?
Ready for you guys.
No, we're envious. We're envious of the Italian connection you guys still have here, because we're losing it back home. The Italian people are fading away. The young generation aren't holding on to it as much as you guys do. You know, going back to when I sang at weddings, you know how hard it was to get people to dance to Luna Mensomata?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
I feel like here everyone goes nuts, even if you're not Italian.
Oh, my God.
Even the Americans
go like,
nuts.
It was like, get up, enjoy your culture. What's wrong with you?
Everyone goes nuts.
That was the remix of that song was on the chart.
Right, it was number one.
Papa Americano, sure? The remix of Tuvo Val Americano.
Yeah, but even Luna, but mate, just
it popped off here.
You don't understand how hard it was. So we're losing it. So we're very envious.
We feel home here.
We love it here, man.
We feel home. Honestly, absolutely. We feel home in especially in New.
See, we this do. Like the Italian thing here, like Italian flag. We don't see Italian flags much back at home.
No.
And here, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're up everywhere. There's like in every the store, there's in the streets, yeah. Italian flags. And we're like, this is like, it's like home, man. It feels, it really does. So we want to be here. We want to crack the market. We want to stay with you guys. Being like, you guys are, that's it. You're friends for life now. All we need is to break bread.
Well,
have
we
conversations
have
and have
several
laughs.
Times today.
Several times.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of bread
we went
today.
To Mario's,
a lot of cars.
Carter Brothers. We went to Luigi's in Park Slope. We ended up at Gianardelli. Not without a stop to the garage in Brooklyn garage for these.
We did it all today, man.
We did it all.
Most Italian day I've ever heard.
Right. We
covered every base. You guys covered every base.
When we got to Gianardelli, we not only had sandwiches from Gianardelli, but Anthony from DeFante's
was there with
a platter of sandwiches. It was we really got the whole tour de New York City.
I think we still got Sfogliatelle in the car.
Yeah, we do, actually.
We do.
And I'm going
to
eat them.
If you guys have a toaster oven, that's the best way to heat those up, by the way. Yeah. You got to put them in a toaster oven.
They're not going to make it in a toaster oven. They're going to be eating in the Uber on the way home.
Fair enough.
But we're doing a TV show back home in Melbourne as well.
Do you guys have Paramount Plus here?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
We've done a deal. We're doing a deal with Paramount Plus and Channel 10 in Australia. So we just shot a pilot and they want an 8-part series. They've almost commissioned the series. We're at like 98%.
Does it have a title?
It does.
It's called...
Can we say?
Are we allowed?
It's a working
title? It's called Two Brothers.
It's Two Brothers and their friend.
I'll tell you.
Two Brothers and La Barba.
I'll tell you. It's called Sushi Mango Drive-By.
And the reason why it's called Drive-By is because the three dads and the three mums sometimes interview a celebrity in a car.
It's
a little bit like comedians in cars having coffee, but...
We go.
It's a three-part. It's like three parts. We have the beginning, which is kind of
sitcom-y,
homey, sketchy.
Sketch.
Then we get in the car, interview the celebrity, and then we get to our destination. You know, whether it be a fruit shop or whether it be a fish shop,
a deli,
and it's just carnage with the celebrity. So it's three.
When I say three parts, it's
23 minutes. Right. So that's the way it's structured.
You know,
home, get in the car with the celebrity, get to our destination, and
you know, the ethnic dads are famous in this thing, and they've got an agent, and the agent rings and says, "Listen, you got to go pick up whoever sell the voice," and we're like, "Who?" Well, we don't want to go pick up an old one. No, come on, it's going to be okay. You go. We're getting the car. Oh, we're going to go to the fruit shop. We'll pick him up on the way in the fruit shop, and off we go. And then we let you come in the fruit shop with us, and it's just
amazing. And you're hoodwinked into running errands with
correct yeah.
with a celebrity.
He's coming along with us. We're begrudgingly famous. Yeah. We don't want to be famous because we're the ethnic dads. Our sons put us on the internet.
Right.
We don't want to be famous. Okay, we'll pick him up. On the way to where we need to go, we'll do this stupid interview for you and whatever. And that's carnage happens from that point.
It's a roast. It's a live roast, so to speak.
So we'd like to... So if it goes well in Australia, we want to actually do that here.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll reach here first
season if it does well. But eventually the dream is like if it does kick off, we can come and do it with some celebrities here in the States, and you know, but we'll see. That's we've got a lot of things. We're writing a movie. We've got we've got to write a new show. So yeah, the show that we're presenting here in around the world, in America and everywhere else, is the show that we've previously done. We're starting to write a new show for 2024 in Australia to tour nationally, and hopefully, well, with any luck, we'll bring that here as well. So our next show will be that,
and we write all of our shows now so that we can bring them here.
Yeah,
we have sayings so instead of using words that are English or Australian, word root, for example.
Do you know what the word root is?
The word root in Australia.
So we used to say, like, I had some Australian friends out in LA say that it's funny that we say we're rooting for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of what rooting means.
Rooting means having sex.
Yeah.
Okay. In Australia, you're going for a root. That means you're going for...
You're going for...
I had a root last night.
It's bang o'clock.
It's bang o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But we use that word once. We couldn't use that. So we use something else now.
Yeah.
So it's very understandable for everyone else.
The previous show.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that when bringing a show internationally.
You got to curve it.
We went to Canada.
It could really change the punchline.
We went to Canada and we did this whole thing about in Australia when... We've got a lot of lemon trees. Do you have lemon trees here? No, lemon trees, right?
Christmas trees?
In California.
You don't have it in New York, right?
Cold here.
So we were in Toronto.
We wrap our fig trees up in burlap.
Yes, and we found that in Canada.
We piss on the lemon trees in Australia because the acid... Because the acid in the pea makes the lemons juicier.
Is that right?
That's not a joke.
So
actually, you urinate on your lemon tree or a citrus tree, lemons or oranges or mandarin tree. No,
it's like when you pee on a jellyfish, like bite.
No.
The urine acts as some sort of fertilizer for the lemons.
Yes.
Yes.
Like some sort of the acidity in the piss. It helps the...
Yeah, we piss on lemon trees, man.
Yeah, it's not even a joke.
So you piss on the lemon tree, and it helps the lemons.
This one just died.
All right. Where?
That's fine. No, it was recording that, but it just fucking...
It died?
None of it recorded.
So how do we wrap it up now?
We just come over there.
Hold on. We had such a great time here chopping it up with Sushi Mango that all the cameras died.
So we've been here for so long, all the batteries ran out. We just talked the shit out of everything.
Sorry, man, we did have a couple of drinks. We're not going to lie.
This is the best. Hey, listen, it's been quite a day.
It has been.
We ate a bunch, we drank a bunch, we laughed a lot.
Come here, you fucking kid.
It's been
kid.
Tremendous.
And it's been tremendous. And I can't wait for the next time. For Anthony Shirata, we thank Sushi Mango. We thank all of you for watching. This has been another great episode.
Yeah,
thank
we you. Hope so.
Of
we
Breaking so. Bread.
Let me tell you guys, I just want to say something. With Sushi Mango, when you're in, and you guys are friends for life. What you guys have done for us today, we will never forget, no matter how far we get in life, how many heights we reach. Slurring a bit. But seriously, guys, I love you.
Listen, today's been about...
Kiss on the head there. I love you guys, seriously.
And that was just our Wednesday. You should see what our Thursday is.
Oh, man. I'm done here, man. Yeah. I'm done with Wednesday. Seriously, thank you guys for everything you've done.
Thanks, guys. See you all at the show. We're going to see the boys at the show. Everyone, come down.
February 28th, other dates, D.C., California, Boston, D.C., California, Boston, Canada, New Zealand, London. SushiMango.com for all those tour dates. America, buy your tickets. These guys are tremendous. You're going to see them a lot.
How you doing?
Mango. This has been Breaking Bread. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Forget about it.
How you doing?
How you doing?